Okay, good morning, everybody. So we're going to pick up today from the bottom of, towards the bottom of Gimel Amud Aleph. So just a quick recap, but we had wrapped up the Sugya of Hezek Re'iyah last time, as well as begun the discussion here towards the bottom, the wide lines of Gimel Amud Aleph, where the Gemara is trying to figure out exactly what goes into the measurements that the Mishnah gives for the thickness of the wall. Right. So we saw that depending on the materials, right, it's either a total of 6 tefachim, 5 tefachim, 4 tefachim, or 3 tefachim, split evenly between the two parties, for the materials and the width of the wall that they need to build that's between their two properties, right? So ultimately what the Gemara said was that the reason why that there are different measurements for different types of material, even though in the Mishnah, the two types of material are really the two categories and each one has subcategories. Gvil and Gazis are both similar, and that the difference is only in the way in which they are attached to each other, meaning that the Gvil has a thicker sediment and the Gazis has a thinner one. And Kfisin and Levainen are the same, also similar categories, brick versus stone. And again, it's in the way in which you use cement to connect the bricks to each other. So the Gemara now here on the bottom, based on this idea, so it's four lines from the very bottom of the Gemara, right towards the first third of the line, starts with the word Lameimra. So what we had just finished saying in the Gemara is that at this point, we know that included in the wall is the cement, the wall, and everything, the space that takes to get to the requisite amount. So for Gvil, it's 6 tefachim, for Gazis, it's 5 tefachim, and so on. So now the Gemara asks the following question. Lameimra, do you mean to tell me, did Begazis kol arba amos gova, that when it comes to building a wall out of Gazis, any 4 amma high wall, ihavi pusio chamisha, if it's 5 tefachim wide, kai, that will stand, and ilo, lo kai, then it won't stand. I mean, is that the argument? In other words, if you recall from the very, very beginning when we started Bava Basra, so I explained to you that the Rush treats this Mishnah like a zoning code, that it's a question of whether or not the wall would be dangerous. And if the wall is not built to code, then there's a risk that the wall will fall down. So the Gemara is taking that theory and asking, is this a permanent ratio? Is the 4 amma to 5 tefach wide ratio correct? Meaning for every 4 amos of height, you need 5 tefachim, and therefore if you went to 8 amos, you would need 10 tefachim? Or is the rule that the thickness of the wall that you put up, when you put up a wall, no matter how high it goes, has to be only 5 tefachim? So the Gemara is saying, based on what we just said, which is that the way in which we measure the thickness of the wall is based on its sturdiness, right, the cement that you use to lock it in place and how much space that takes up, and therefore that's how we get to our calculation in the Mishnah. So the Gemara wants to know, does that mean that it's a permanent ratio? Every 4 amos needs 5 tefachim thickness in order to support the weight of the wall. So the Gemara says, I have a problem with that. If you're going to tell me that I actually do need to add 5 tefachim of thickness for every 4 amos of height, well, we have history where the wall was not so thick and it was very high. That wall was called the Amatraxin. The Gemara says, "Va Amatraxin, David Gavor Tchlasin Amasa." The Amatraxin, which was 30 amos high, so the Amatraxin in the first Beis Hamikdash did not have between. So, as we know from the Mishkan, right? So we know in Parshas Truman, Parshas Tetzaveh. So when you walk into the Ohel Moed, so you walk inside the Mishkan, which is the Kodesh, where all the Kelim are, right? The Mizbeach, the Menorah, the Shulchan. Then there is the Paroches, which separates between the Kodesh and the Kodesh Hakadoshim, and in the Kodesh Hakadoshim is the Aron. In the first Mikdash, there was no Paroches, or at least it's a Machlokas that there was a Paroches. It's a Machlokas in the Gemara and Yoma. But L'chuli Alma, there was definitely, possibly not a Paroches, but what there definitely was that was separating between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim was a wall. That wall was called the Amatraxin. Now, what exactly that wall looked like and how it was built and the shape, that's not our discussion today. But that's in some configuration of whether there was a door in it, whether there were two walls that you walked between that, whatever it was, there was definitely a wall there. It was definitely all the way up to the ceiling, and it was definitely very, very high. So in the times of the first Beis HaMikdash, they had a very, very high, 30 amma high wall that separated between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Now, if you look in Sefer Melachim, when Shlomo HaMelech builds the Beis HaMikdash, so it's very obvious that there's a limited amount of space in that part of the Mishkan and the Mikdash, right? The Beis HaMikdash is only a certain number of amos wide and a certain number of amos long. So we know that there's only a limited amount of space to put the mikdash, to put this wall. So therefore, how could it be that you're going to tell me, right, that's the Gemara, it's going to be the Gemara's question, how could it be that for every 4 amos, you're going to need more tefach? You're going to take up the whole Kodesh HaKadoshim with the Amatraxin. So then where did the Aron go? Right, where are they going to? Right? Obviously, that wasn't what happened. So that's what the Gemara's question is going to be. Va'ama trachna v'gavot tolas in amasa. It was 30 amos high. V'la'av v'pussi al-shis pishchi. It was only 6 tfachim wide. V'kam. And it stood. So Gemara says, no. Kivan di'ika tefach yisira kai. Since there was an extra tefach, it only needed to be 5 tfachim. And it said it was 6 tfachim. The extra tefach gives it the structural integrity to go up to 30 amos. Now, you can interpret this one of two ways. Right? You can interpret this as saying the Gemara thinks that the minimum shear for a 4-amo wall is 5 tefachim. Anything greater than that only needs 6 tefachim because the extra tefach will protect it. Finished. Right? You could build a 100-amo high wall. And if it's 6 tefachim wide, then we're not worried. Right? Now, I'm not an engineer, but something tells me that math is not going to hold up. A. So that's the first problem. The second problem that I could identify in this Gemara, which I don't have an answer to any of these problems. Second problem that I think that you could identify here is that, so what if you build a 35-amo wall? Right? The Gemara's proof here is if our Mishnah wants you to build a wall that's 4 amos high, and it says you have to build it 5 tefachim wide. So the Gemara is trying to say that what? That if you're going to build 8 amos, so you might think you need 10 tefachim wide. The Gemara says, no, you don't need 10 tefachim. Why? Because the amatraxin was only an extra tefach. Okay, so that means that now I know that for 30 amos high, the shear is 6 tefachim. What if I want to build 35 amos? So the Gemara has no proof now, right? So what's going on here? So is this a zoning rule? Is this just a minimum threshold rule? What's going on? The Gemara doesn't really seem to, yeah.
Is it also ignoring the fact that the wall was supported on all four sides and was indoors?
Well, we're going to get to that part. But the fact that it was supported on all four sides might not be true because it depends on what the configuration of the amatraxin was. So the machlok is in the Mishnah and the Gemara in Masechas Yoma about whether or not the amatraxin was in fact two walls, or whether it was a combination of a wall and a paroches, or whether it was just one wall with a door in it. But there's definitely at least one opinion in the Gemara where the way the amatraxin worked was there was two walls sticking out from each side, and there was a gap on either side. So the Kohen would walk in here, he would walk through this passageway of two walls, and then out into the Kodesh HaKadosh. And that way, you could never see directly into the Kodesh HaKadosh.
But I mean, even from the top.
It's not clear that it was attached at the top. Especially according to the Manda Amr that thinks that the amatraxin only went up to a certain height, and then the parochas was hung from the ceiling and draped over it so that it was overlapping, so you couldn't see past it either. So again, there's different configurations. But at least there are definitely opinions where it's not a freestanding structure, granted, but it's only going to be attached on at least one portion of the structure.
That's probably similar to most walls in a chatzar.
With most walls in a chatzar, you probably have all of them in the same height and probably in the same structure. Whereas here, the amatraxin was built afterwards.
But it's
so,
still attached on.
Yeah, I'm saying it's attached to something. But I'm saying, but it's not covered by the rest of the building. Meaning it's not attached to the ceiling. There's not necessarily a foundation dug. Saying there's rules about digging on the Har Bayis, saying even before modern times. Right. Okay, good. Okay, so the Gemara then wants to, so the Gemara moving off of this, now the Gemara thinks that, okay, fine. So we've proven that if it's more than 4 amos, we need an extra tefach. We need 6 tefachim, even for, let's say, gazis, which is only really 5 tefachim. And the Gemara thinks that that's the rule. Meaning, once you go above 4 amos, 6 tefachim will do the trick. That's the building code. Whether it's really sturdy, it's not really sturdy. Gemara's not interested. But the Gemara has a problem. Why? Because the Gemara said like this, Uva mikdash sheni my time alo avod amatraxin. So the Gemara says, okay, fine. I accept 30 amos high, 6 tefachim, that's good, that'll work. Great. Okay, so how come in the second Beis HaMikdash they didn't have an amatraxin? Right, what was the reason? In other words, I understand in the Mishkan they didn't have an amatraxin because they're not building a wall every time they have to disassemble the Mishkan and move. But once they build the Beis HaMikdash, so then it's not going anywhere. So they built a wall. They don't need a paroches. Okay, so how come in the Mikdash Sheni they didn't do that? Why not? So the Gemara says, Kikai betlasim kai, tve lo kai, because 30 amos is the height. Anything more than that, it won't stand. In other words, the Gemara just answered our question, right? What is the Gemara saying when it says 30 amos, you go to 6 tefachim? That it's a fixed ratio. Once you get up to 30 amos, you need 6 tefachim. Anything higher than that, 6 tefachim is insufficient. So therefore, what's the problem with the Mikdash Sheni? The Mikdash Sheni, much bigger, significantly bigger than the Bayis Rishon. Bayis Rishon was a relatively unimpressive structure. The Bayis Sheni, on the other hand, certainly after the extensive renovations, was a very impressive structure. So the height of the Amatraxin would have been way too high for the amount of space that they would have had to put up the wall. Okay. Then the Gemara says, okay, so how do you know that it was higher? It says in the pasuk, "Gadol yia kavod abayis hazeh ha'achram harishon," because this one was better than the previous one. Rav Shmuel v'Amir Rabbi Yochanan v'Lazer Chadamar v'Binyan. One opinion of these machloks and amoraim is that it's about the way that the structure was built, that one was bigger than the other. V'Chadamar v'Shanim, and one says that one lasted longer. Right? We know the Bayis Sheni lasted 420 years. Bayis Rishon only lasted 410 years. V'Isalaha. It could be that they're both right. Okay. So then the Gemara says, fine. Good. Let's say that's true. V'ne'avdu tlasin amin bebinyin. V'idach ne'avdu paroches. Okay. So split the difference. So why didn't they just put up an amatraxin in the Beis HaMikdash Sheni, in the Bayis Sheni, that was 30 amos high, 6 tfachim wide, and then hang the paroches for whatever is left? What's the big difference? So the Gemara says, no. Kikai tlasin amasa nami agav tikra umazeva havakai. When you put up a 30 amma wall, it also needs to be attached to the roof and the plaster. In other words, it has to be built into the full structure. Below tikru mazeva lo havakai, but without being built into the structure, it won't stand. Now, again, I don't really fully grasp if the Gemara is making a zoning code assumption here, meaning, or if the Gemara is describing a reality, or if the Gemara is saying we're not taking the risk. Meaning, you might tell me, again, I'm not an engineer, I know nothing about how to build anything, unless it's made out of Lego. But if you told me that you're going to build a 30 amma wall, or a 30 amma high structure, 60 feet tall, roughly, a little less than that, somewhere between 45 and 60 feet tall. So if you're going to tell me that you could build such a structure, and you can make a wall that's only attached on one side to the rest of the structure, and it will stand or it won't stand, okay, I'd be convinced either way. So why don't we just test it out? So there was no 45 foot tall structure anywhere in Eretz Israel other than the Bayis Sheni? Haitachin, really? Come on. Saying it sounds much more like the Gemara is saying, and I think this is consistent with the Rush's opinion that we talked about much earlier, that it's not a question of that it will fall or that it won't fall. It's a question of that it might fall. Being that the Gemara is trying to give a threshold for what is a safety standard for building code. You don't have to worry that a building that is built to code is going to fall down. A building that's not built to code, well, it might not fall today, but it's probably going to fall. So that's why we have codes. So therefore, the Gemara is telling you that there's a shear here. If you build it up to the particular codes, then you don't have to worry that it's going to fall down. If you don't, then it probably will fall down. Now, in the Mikdash itself, that's a problem, because if you build it to fall, so then one could argue that it's not a permanent institution. And in order for the Binyan Beis HaMikdash to be ra'oi for the avoda, it has to be a binyan keva. You're not allowed to make it arai. And therefore, we have all kinds of problems if this is true. But that's the Beis HaMikdash problem. But for us, it's a technical problem of here's the threshold of for which it's no longer considered to be safe. Okay. So Gemara says, okay, fine. So good. So if it's not attached to the ceiling, it's not attached to the structure, it's not going to work. Okay, so the Gemara says, fine. Okay, so do whatever is possible. Meaning, if the Amatraxim was in the first Mikdash, so then why are we just getting rid of it in the second Mikdash? Why didn't we bring it back to whatever amount we can bring it back? So put four Amos up. So make a 6 tefach wide, or 5 tefach wide, 4 amma high wall, and then put the two roches. No? What's the big deal? So Amar Abaye Gemiri, we have a halacha, ikulhu bebinyan, ikulhu beparochas. Either the whole thing has to be built, or the whole thing has to be the parochas. Ikulhu bebinyan mi mikdash, ikulhu beparochas mi mishkan. Now, Tosus not here, but Tosus in Yoma cites this Gemara as a major problem for the machlokas, both in the Mishnah and in the Tosefta, between the Chacham and Rebbe Elazar, about whether or not there was a parochas and an amatraxin, or whether it was one or the other, etc. Again, not for right now, but note that this Gemara is directly in conflict with the assumptions of the Mishnah Tosefta in Masechas Yoma. Something to think about, but it's not for right now. Okay. The Gemara continues. Ibailu, hein v'sidan, odilma hein below sidan. When we talk in the Mishnah about our measurements for what is the measurement of the wall, thickness, thinness, etc., so does that include the plaster? Does that include the decorative features that you put on the outside? Does it include the staining? Does it include all the stuff that you add to the wall before or after or during the process for whatever is going to be there, right? Does it include the sheetrock that you use to cover it up? Does it include the paint? What does it include? So the Gemara wants to know. So Amar of Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Mistabra Hein V'Sidan. It makes sense to say that it's the wall and all the stuff that covers it, the plaster, etc. If you think it's the wall itself, meaning the structural integrity of the wall, the actual material of the wall, and not what holds it together, and not the plaster, and not the decorative features, none of that stuff. So listen to Elishu'ure. So why don't we just say, in the Mishnah, should just tell you the exact shear. This is the shear of the wall. Elav shmamina hein v'sidan. Now, the problem with that is that that's actually what the Mishnah does say, right? The Mishnah does tell us what the shear is. So Gemara says, lo. La'olam eimelacha hein below sidan. No. The Mishnah does tell us the shear. So Rav Nachman's approach is problematic. So the Gemara says, no, okay, fine. Really, it's the technical wall, the stones that you use, the bricks that you use, that's what the amount of the thickness of the wall has to be. You want to add anything to it, that's on you. V'kivan de lo have tefach, lo tani. And the Gemara says, but why doesn't it, why doesn't it include the sid? Because all the other stuff that you throw on doesn't add up to a tefach. And anything that's less than a tefach, the Mishnah is not interested in legislating. V'akitani b'levenin zenosin tefach u'mechza, zenosin tefach u'mechza. Okay, but we know that the Mishnah is okay with working with half a tefach measure because it lists that. So the Gemara says, no. Hasam chazi l'tarufe. There, you're combining them. That's the whole point. Here, we're not going to tell you, well, the actual shear is 5 tefachim and 7/8 of a tefach in, if you include all in. Like, no. We're happy to tell you that if the real shear is 3 and we're going to split it 1.5, 1.5, that we can work with. But if we're going to start calculating the minimum shear of what the substance of the wall is and then start tacking on pieces of tefachim, you know, a little bit, a couple centimeters here, a couple centimeters there, that's already too nitty-gritty details for the Mishnah to get involved in, and therefore it doesn't list it. The minimum threshold is whatever you build your wall to, but the content of the wall, the material that you use to actually put it up, has to be according to the rules of the Mishnah. Fine. Tashima, and we have a proof for this. Hakorish Amru Rechava Kedei Lekabel Ariach V'Ariach Atzi Levena. When the Gemara says that you have to put up in Masechta Erevin, you have to put up a korah across a mavoi in order to be able to carry within that mavoi. So it has to be a thickness that it could be able to hold a brick. And a brick, an ariach, which is one type of brick, is half of a levena, which is 3 tefachim brick. So we now know that it's 1.5 tefachim. So you see what? If it's sufficiently large enough in the way that you split the tefachim, we do use minimum less than a tefach measurements, but we don't use less than that. So Hasan the Gemara says, Rav Ravasa, Dekonami, Dekotani, Shal Shlosha Tefachim. We're willing to deduct from when we have a whole number. So if we get to 1.5 tefachim, fine, that we can live with. But if you're going to tell me that the shear is X, and then you're going to have to start measuring pieces of tefachim in random measurements in order to get to the proper size wall, so that the Mishnah is not willing to do. Just like when it comes to Korah, the Mishnah doesn't tell you, oh, you put up a 1.5 tefach brick thick Korah beam, right? But rather, you get a 3 tefach brick and divide in half, and that's the thickness of the one that you need. And that's how the Mishnah comes up with measurements. In other words, the Mishnah is not interested in absolute precision. It's interested in getting you into the right ballpark. And as long as you're in the right ballpark, it's sufficient. Okay, so we have about a couple minutes left. So let's just get started with the beginning of the next sugya. Now, the beginning of the next sugya is a halacha and agada mix. Okay? So it's not... Yeah, Jacob.
Is the Mishnah assuming that if you, whether or not you put seed on or not, it's integral to the issue of hezekiah?
No.
So
no.
Why are they...
Because the question is, remember, when you enter into a partnership agreement, so the question is, what can I force you to do?
Yeah.
Right? So once you agreed to build the wall, and we've agreed to split, so now I can force you to build the wall. Okay, so what did you agree to get forced to build? So according to the Mishnah, if it does not include the sid, so then I cannot force you to plaster over the wall. I can force you to share with me in the costs of getting the stones and putting them there, and the work and the labor and the space, but I can't force you to actually cover it in sid. Now, if I want to cover my side in sid, so I might be allowed to do that, despite the fact that I can't force you to. And that's what the Gemara is saying.
These things are not integral to the issue of
hezekiah. No, these are partnership agreement issues, not hezekiah issues. The only hezekiah issue is what is getting the agreement to put up the wall in the first place. Once that agreement is in place, everything then reverts into a standard partnership problem. Okay. So now the next Gemara is going to talk about how these some rules about building shuls. Okay, so it seems like it's an odd place to put this, especially since the Gemara discusses these halachos at great length also in Maseches Megillah, but the Gemara is citing it here for two reasons, as we're going to see. The first reason is because we're talking about building walls of sufficient strength and taking them down. And the second is because we invoked the ideas of the Mikdash Sheni. So as we're going to see, this sugya, I don't know if we'll see the whole thing today, but this sugya is a mix of halacha and agada based on the rebuilding of the second Beis HaMikdash, and in particular, the renovations of the second Beis HaMikdash. That's what this Gemara is going to address. So let's take a look. Let's get started. So Amar Rav Chista says, and this is a direct quote from the Gemara Megillah as well, Lo listor inish beknishta ad debani beknishta achriti. You may not take down in a pre-existing shul until you build another shul in its place. So, I don't know if everybody remembers when they built the new Yankee Stadium, right? They built the new Yankee Stadium, and the old Yankee Stadium was sitting right next to it. So there was a tkufa where you would drive down the Deegan, and there would just be two Yankee Stadiums. One that said Yankee Stadium on it, and one that said nothing on it, but was obviously the same, because they built them to look almost identical, just one was newer, right? So what we're saying here is the same idea. You can't destroy the old Yankee Stadium until you make sure that the new Yankee Stadium is ready for use. So you want to build it, you want to knock down the old shul, build the new one first. Then you can knock down the old one. Now, the Gemara Megillah has other solutions to the problem the Gemara is about to address here. But note that the Gemara is trying to figure out, at least in principle, what's the issue with knocking down the shul before you have the new one built. So the Gemara says, there's two possible reasons. Ika da amri mishum shiusa. One is because you might get negligent. You might knock down the old shul, and you'll never get around to building the new shul. Kacha, it happens. V'ika d'amri, and there are those that say, mishum saluye, because it's for davening. If you don't build the new shul, you're not going to have a place to daven. So you need a place to daven. So the Gemara says, ma benayu, what's the difference between these two opinions? Ika benayu, di'ika b'nekishta achriti. If there is another shul in the area, so then you can knock down the first shul according to the one that holds that it's for davening, and according to the one that's told is negligent, so then it has nothing to do with that, because you might not rebuild the shul. Now, what's the predicate of that assumption? That you're never allowed to destroy a shul. You may not take down a shul, even if it's not needed. Right? And this is a major, major concern, because when people build beautiful new buildings and shuls, so communities don't always last forever. So what do you do with a shul that you built in a part of town that the Jews then flee for whatever reason? Right, so there's a lot of places like this, right? Even Manhattan, right? New York City, we have all this. The whole Bronx is full of shuls, right? The Lower East Side used to be full of shuls, right? What happened to all those shuls, right? They're now apartments and art galleries. So how does that work? So the Gemara Megillah addresses how you decommission a shul if it's possible, and under certain circumstances it is possible, but it's not as simple as just saying, okay, I'm going to sell the land out and whatever happens, happens. It's a little bit more complex than that. But that's not our sugya right here. We're focused on the building component. Mremar umar zutra sasri ubanu bekaita besisva ubanu besisva bekaita. They would demolish and rebuild their shul every season. So in the winter they would build the shul with thick walls and few windows, and in the summer they would build the shul with limited walls and lots of windows. And they would constantly, every season, they would be destroying the shul and rebuilding it. Crazy, right? Imagine you take down a building every 6 months. Saying obviously their buildings were both smaller in scale and more easily demolished and built than ours are. That being said, right, think Lincoln Logs more than, you know, cinder block, steel, rebar, and plaster, right, and cement. Think like you're just interlocking pieces, right? So you could just reconfigure your building as you wish, right? So that's what they were doing. So Amar l'Ravina l'Ravashi, Gavu Zuzi Umachti Mai. Okay, so we've now established that if you want to knock down a shul and build a new shul, so the only way that that is appropriate to be done is if you have another shul to daven in already, right? Or where there's a way to ensure that you will not mess up in the building process, such as you are constantly working on it, seemingly, right? So the Gemara wants to say, okay, what if you collect the money? So I have a bank account. And in that bank account is the money to renovate. That's where the money's sitting there. It's just ready. It's ready to go. Is that sufficient to say now you can knock down the old shul? Or do you actually have to have the physical edifice before you knock down the old shul? So Gemara says, Amar Le. So he said back to him, Dilma Misrami Lehu Pidyon Shvuyim, V'yavi Lehu. Maybe you're going to need the money for Pidyon Shvuyim. Pidyon Shvuyim is docha most of the mitzvot in the Torah. And if it turns out that we need $2 million from the new shul building fund in, you know, Yenimsville to redeem hostages from Gaza, so then okay, we're sending that money and we're going to pay it and we're going to get the hostages back, right? It's a mitzvah. So then what's going to happen? If you destroyed your shul already, you're no longer in our shul. Do you need 10?
Yeah, you have much more than I thought yet. We just got 7, so we have somewhere